In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence, always remembering Life Changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. And now your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. And thank you, Mark. By the way, your voice sounds strong again. Are you feeling better?
Yes, I made it through the voice change. So I think I'm on the other side.
Sorry about that. I thought that was funny, but maybe it wasn't.
If you thought it was funny, then that's all that matters. So,
thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I've thought a lot of things throughout my life, and I've learned that some of them I haven't thought right. But thankfully, I only think right now. Actually, I'm excited about our guest today. She's Dr. Beth Wade, and she is a relationship expert. Now, she's a special kind of relationship expert because she helps people with relationships with themselves and in business, relationship with their business, with their home life, and of course, also with their partners. So this is kind of going to be an interesting show. Especially since she had me take a test on the internet and is going to be evaluating me on the air. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. You know, it's interesting. I went to a funeral today. And I went to a funeral of a man that I respected very much. And a man who respected me very much. And it was quite an interesting experience, my experience with this man. When I first came to Los Angeles, and I was brand new here, and I came to sing. I came to be a part of the Italian community and sing Italian songs and make a lot of people happy, bring a lot of joy, and all that great stuff. Somebody said to me, "You should get to know Joe Sorrell. He's a mover and a shaker, and you should get to know him." Well, I didn't know how to get to know him. Nobody would give me his number his email address or anything, because he's so high up there, he doesn't have time for people like you, meaning me. But if you can, you should get to know him. Well, that was all mysterious. I didn't know what he did or how he did what. But little by little, I started to get to know more about Joe Sorrell. And what I started to get to know is that Joe was very much into politics. And he knew a lot of people in the political world and a lot of very influential people. And interestingly enough, some of the people that he knew or that he worked with are people like John F. Kennedy and Lyndon B. Johnson, Herbert Humphrey, Al Gore and Silvio Berlusconi, and just a whole list of who's who in the world of politics. And I thought, well, how do I get to know a person like that? And why would that person be interested in helping me? And he probably charges a lot of money and doing publicity for them and being campaign strategists and all that stuff. And I just don't rate. I just don't rank. I'm not on his radar. And how do I get on it? Well, I started to give up on getting to know him, because I noticed that whenever he was at events, he was just unapproachable, because there were just way too many people around him wanting to shake his hand or talk to him or have a moment of his time or take a picture with him or something. And I also noticed that whenever I was with a group of people, he would come into the group and interrupt and shake hands with a couple people in the group and walk away. And I would think, I was standing here. am I not, you know, at least worthy of a handshake or a hello? And I used to question that. is he being rude? Is he being just focused on who he needs to talk to? And I remember once being at an event where I sang a duet with a beautiful young lady. And at the end of our duet, he came up and shook the young, he shook the young lady's hand and didn't shake mine. Oh, this is interesting. We've got Dr. Beth Wade coming on. And I thought, why? Dr. Wade, hello, it's Filippo. We're going to have you on in just a moment, but if you don't mind muting the microphone for just a little bit, we'll bring you on as quickly as possible. So I thought, why did he not shake my hand? I felt like chopped liver. I thought, I sang beautifully too. Everybody else came to shake my hand and the young ladies, but why? Well, long story short, this actually went on for years. I wrote his office letters. I didn't get any attention from him. Finally, I was asked to perform at an event where these high-level people were in Washington, D.C. They were government dignitaries from different parts of the world, and Joe Sorrell was there. And so I was to perform a show. I wasn't background music. I was supposed to do a half hour of a show. And so when everybody was done eating, they all turned their chairs around. And when I was introduced, they watched me perform, except for Joe Sorrell and everybody at his table. Now, knowing him now, he probably was having a really high level meeting with some president of some country. And it needed to get done before they could stop and watch the show. But as far as I was concerned, I wanted Joe Sorrell's attention. So he kept talking. He was being very polite about it. He was quiet. His back was to me, and everybody at the table was leaning in to listen to him. So it wasn't that they were disturbing anybody else but me, because I wanted his attention, because I was doing some amazing things on stage, at least so I felt. And so I thought, how do I get his attention? So I, and you know, stop this meeting, because I'm singing, for God's sakes. So I grabbed the portable microphone at one point and was getting ready to sing some kind of a ballad. So I walked into the audience and started shaking people's hands, ladies particularly, as I made my way to Joe Sorrell's table. And I picked a lady in the room at the table who stopped listening to the conversation that was being had and paid attention to me, because I was now serenading her. And then I took her hand, and then I got on my knee, and then everybody started to swoon, or more importantly, she did. And as I started to give up, she grabbed me and hugged me, and I looked at everybody at the table and I smiled really big. I felt like I had accomplished something. I walked back to the stage, I finished the song, and everybody applauded. And when I looked over at Joe Sorrell's table, his chair had been turned around, and for the rest of the evening, he watched me. Or for the rest of my show, he watched me. And when I was done singing, he was the first one on stage, and he says, I've never seen anybody command attention like you have. You have my respect. And he started to introduce me to everybody in the room. Well, it was really interesting, because the next event like that, I was in the hallway getting ready to perform on stage. And Joe Sorrell walks in the back door with actually he was the president of Italy. And I was standing next to this very famous, I won't say who it was, but very famous opera singer who's sung all over the world at the Metropolitan, et cetera, et cetera. And Joe Sorrell walks up to me and he shakes my hand and he said, Filippo, I'd like to introduce you to, or I don't remember how he did the introduction, but he introduced me to the president of Italy. And I shook his hand and was very gracious. And then they went off. And the opera singer standing next to me did not get acknowledged at all, and was very famous and known to all of us, and was Italian, no less. And he looked at me and said, how do you rate? I'll never forget that. And ever since then, Joe Sorrell and I had this really special friendship, relationship thing going where wherever I was, where I was on stage, I would acknowledge him. And that was nice of me, but it didn't have the same importance that whenever he stood on stage and he acknowledged me. In front of all the people that were there, he would always mention my name, and we have Filippo Voltaggio in the room. Please acknowledge one of our fine singers, blah, 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 and he'd go off. And not the last time I saw him, but the last thing like that he did, I was on stage giving a performance. Actually, I saw that Nancy Pelosi was doing a book signing, and I tried to get in line to see Nancy Pelosi, but I had to go perform in like 10 minutes. So I tried to get at the head of the line, and security stopped me. So Joe Sorrell saw this, and he came and he said, "Do you want to meet her? Come with me." And he stopped the line, took me up to the stage and introduced me to Nancy Pelosi, which I thought was an incredible thing, getting us through all the guards and everything. And I said, "Wow, you are powerful." And he says, "Why did you have to rush to do this now?" And I said, "Because I'm supposed to be on stage." And he kind of smiled and he said, go do your show. So I went to go do my show, and he had something up his sleeve, and I didn't know what it was. Right in the middle of my performance, Joe Sorrell walks up to the stage and puts Nancy Pelosi on the stage. And, of course, the crowd goes crazy, and he reintroduces us. And I hand her the mic and said hello. And she had some wonderful things to say about being Italian-American. But I'm glad she spoke, because I was speechless that he would do that. And he winked at me off stage, and I thought, this man, who I thought might have even been rude or I'd never get onto his radar, I had it all wrong. I had to earn his respect, and I had to get his attention. And today I was at his funeral, giving him as much respect as I knew how, and thanking him for showing me how to be in the world of respect and honor and dignity, and showing me a little bit about who I am and who I can be if I only give myself the opportunity to. So thank you, Joe Sorrell. You will be greatly missed. So with that, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network, where we're here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, like today, or Pacific Standard Time when it's Pacific Standard Time. And you could always learn about us by going to www.lifechanges.ws and on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll talk about that again later on in the show. But let's talk about our guest, who is Dr. Beth Wade. Now, Dr. Beth Wade has received her Master's in Divinity and a PhD in Metaphysical Sciences from the University of Medical Physical Sciences in Arcata, California. Dr. Wade is a relationship expert. Like I said at the beginning, she provides guidance and support to help restore balance in relationships, but not in just relationships between people, but between the person and themselves and their business and relationships in businesses and in home life and in life in general. Dr. Wade's primary focus is reintroducing her clients to themselves, their own unique language and expression of self, so they can love, honor, and engage their powerful individual gifts and talents. That's kind of interesting. My story at the beginning of the show actually talks about this, how I had to learn how to engage those gifts that I had. Among her many assessment techniques, Dr. Wade utilizes the Ultimate Life Tool, which is a cutting-edge human assessment technology accredited by the California State Board of Behavioral Sciences and the Board of Registered Nurses. The use of this tool, along with her other techniques, assists Dr. Wade in teaching clients the communication perspective and skills that that help them manifest harmonious relationships that change the quality and outcome of their overall life experience. So with that, I welcome Dr. Beth Wade to our show. Welcome, Beth.
Hello, how are you, Filippo?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Well, this is exciting having you on the show. And I shared with everybody before you came on, actually, that you had me take this assessment. It's called the, where is it?
The Ultimate Life Tool Assessment.
The Ultimate Life Tool Assessment. You had me do that, which is on the internet. For all of us who want to have this assessment, we can do it at drbethwade.com. And so I did that, and then you assessed me. And in so many ways.
Yes.
And a little later on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about that. So but before we assess me, let's talk about assessing you. You know, it's interesting. In order for you to be able to do what you do, or to be able to do it so well as I got to experience you the other day, you don't just come to it by happenstance. So much has happened to you in this life process. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your process?
No, not at all. It's funny when I'm in my 50s, so when you start doing this, it's like, how far back do I go? But I'll start when I got married. I got married when I was 30 years old after 5 roommates had gotten married in 1 year. And of course, the biological clock was ticking. And so I had a whirlwind romance and was married in 2 months. And probably in the next 6 months, I got pregnant, had 2 boys. And at this particular time in life, as I've learned through my education, there are a lot of changes, unmet expectations. Life can be very wonderful and exciting, and it can also be very volatile. And I had worked at the executive level at a pharmaceutical company in Boulder and loved it, was thriving, but I also had this such a deep longing to be able to be at home with my kids. And I would drop them off at daycare and they would cry and I would cry and I'd pull myself together and I'd do my thing. So my heart's desire was to come home and be a stay-at-home mom. So through a course of events that occurred, and I was miserable. So, you know, I didn't have the mental stimulation. I hadn't quite navigated the adult world with kids. And so I worked through that. My relationship with my husband was very tumultuous. He was 5 years younger than myself, and both of us going through this process or this period in life at the same time, he was climbing the corporate ladder, was very had tons of energy, but we didn't see eye to eye, and we would have horrendous arguments. And I thought, well, if he doesn't hit me, then I don't have an excuse to stay in the marriage. You know, I don't have an excuse to get out of the marriage. So it was really awful, and stayed married. And fortunately, as we matured and as he was coming into his own as an adult and having all these wonderful qualities, of course, our relationship got better, and we would take walks every evening and download information, and the boys were older, and he was very involved in their lives. And a month before his 41st birthday, he was killed in a motorcycle accident, which, of course, was very difficult. And to have a police officer come to the door at, you know, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and we didn't know where he was and we couldn't get a hold of him, and to deliver that information to me. And I always say I got slingshotted into a new reality, and I was kind of left behind, like, whoa, help, Mr. Wizard. What do I do now? And I was so fortunate to have such wonderful friends and family and neighbors who loved and supported me and literally carried me through, you know, the first several months before I could get on my feet. Of course, I thought I was on my feet all along. And shortly, probably 3 months later, I went to work for Carlsbad Unified School District, and I worked in a middle school. And that was fun and great, and my kids had the same schedule, and life was good. And the summer came, and I was supposed to go back to work in about 10 weeks, and I just couldn't do it. And I needed time to heal, because my life consisted of getting up at 5:30 in the morning, getting to work at 7, working all day long, coming home, making dinner, making sure the boys' homework was done and that they had their sports activities. So I hadn't allowed myself time to heal. So I took the next year and went through that process. And at the end of that time, it was right at year 3, I felt like somebody just picked me up and put me on the ground, and all this rust came off. And I had new insights and new perspective and good energy. And that's when I decided to pursue my education in divinity and metaphysical sciences. And I was 49 years of age at that time, and was able to accelerate the program because I had the focus to do that, and began a new life. And the educational process was wonderful because it helped me connect with spirit and with my own spirit and be healed. But the degree titles are wonderful, but it's very cerebral. So all that stuff is in your head and in your heart. But my life experiences and who I am physically allows me to have tenderness towards others, and I have a nurturing spirit and a healing disposition, and I have the ability to intuit what people's needs are or where they are in life. So I began my practice and wore all the many hats of starting a small business, and was busy and thriving and seeing clients and having wonderful healing experiences. And I wasn't happy. And I don't know if I'd set up a picture of what this was going to be like or feel like, but people, I had great insight and great tools, and they weren't choosing to get better. They weren't choosing that. And I just felt really frustrated and very, very critical. And I really disliked that part of myself. And I, as much as I wanted to shake it, I couldn't. And so I knew I was trying to decide, am I going to continue with this business or not? And it's at that recommitment time. And I met Dr. Zanna Hackett, and she's actually the founder of this technology. And we hit it off right away, and she shared with me what this was all about. And I knew in that moment that I was hoping that was the key. And through the process of me taking the very same assessment that you took, I realized that all those things that were uncomfortable or irritating within my own being were there for very specific reasons. And when I learned about what they were and that I can own them and love myself, it took away all criticism of other people. I was able to see them for their unique gifts and their qualities, because this technology teaches us to look at people and see their physical characteristics. Your hair color, is it thin, is it thick, is it curly? Your skin tone, your eye color, are you curvy, are you wiry, do you carry your weight in your stomach? All of those things mean something. And then it revolutionized my life, because I could look at the people in front of me and love their perfection. And this technology brings you to a place where you take this, it's a test. There are no wrong answers, and people feel, you know, kind of stripped or naked, or what she's going to see. She's going to see all the bad stuff. I see all the beauty and all the goodness and all the things that God brought you into this world to be. And there might be some little shifts here and there to bring you back to a place of wholeness, but it's done with love and honor and respect. And I certainly hope that when we had our conversation, Filippo, that you felt that way when we shared the information.
Nothing but love, honor, and respect. Absolutely.
Oh, good. Now if and I can practice that every day. That's the challenge.
No, first of all, thank you for sharing some of your story, because I, especially for some of our women listeners, but even the men, it just goes to show that we all have our difficulties and we all go through what we go through, and we find each other on the other side, and just doing it gracefully, it would be the most elegant choice, I think. And this is what you're actually helping people do. You were saying the subtext in your story is that some of it wasn't graceful, some of it wasn't planned well enough, or some of it, you know, but once you had the tools, it's now easier to work with.
Exactly. And now that I'm out of that emotional state, and I knew it in the moment as well, that it was a gift, and that as painful as certain things are, there are lessons that you come through as you mature. And I'm very grateful. I wouldn't have undergone the education or my practice if my husband hadn't passed away. My kids are great and doing very well in life, so that's always a blessing. And I'm in love and doing very well and living in a beautiful home. So we always have to remember that this too shall pass. And even in the moment, if there's, you know, they can be very joyful experiences too, that you get a job promotion and you have to move. And it's like, oh my gosh, I have to move, you know, and getting yourself or your family reestablished, or you're getting married, or there's a baby coming. Those are all wonderful, exciting things, but they also can be frightening, or there's a lot of anticipation. So this technology helps me and it helps my client love and own themselves and navigate through those different things, whether they're exciting and positive or if they're the hard things that we all get to experience in this life. And as you said, they can do them with more grace. Hopefully they can communicate with those in their world that are close to them so that their needs are met in a kind way, and everyone thrives. So
I like that.
I like that too.
You know, the image that came to mind when we were talking about this assessment tool was like so much of our lives we are square pegs trying to fit into round holes. Yes. And the reason that analogy worked really well for me is because you say that just by the looks of somebody, where they carry their weight and the kind of hair they have, etc., that is saying that person is a square peg and that one is a round peg and that one is an oval something or other. And so basically you are helping people by saying, okay, your life right now is like a round hole. Where you're working is a round hole and you're a square peg. No wonder it doesn't work.
Right. Right. And it helps you. I'll relate to myself. I'm curvy. And in my dating in my 40s and 50s, that was an issue to some men. And there were self-esteem problems because of that, or a lack of confidence. And when I took this assessment and learned that was the very part of me that is sympathetic and nurturing and content and kind and the natural healer, and that the way I process information, I do see what's not working first, but then I know how to fix it. And so for my practice, it's very important for me to see what's not working first, or for a surgeon, or for someone who does safety at a large corporation. So instead of me feeling uncomfortable about my physical presentation, I could completely embrace it. And if one of the opposite sex preferred a different body type, I wasn't offended. It was fine. It's like, next, move on. You know, so that's what I really hope for, both for men and women, because our young people have so much pressure about how they look, and they're teased, and, you know, their world is very small, so they don't realize that their bodies are maturing, or that they're going to change, or that there will be different consequences. And this particular technology helps at any age to love and understand yourself, but I have a very tender spot for our youth and creating a space for them to be happy and content with who they are.
Well, who need this so much, because if they knew at an early age what we know now as adults that utilize tools like these, then one would hope and trust that the life between then and now would be so much easier.
Yes, and it just helps them make really good decisions, because there are natural paths of careers. It's not a narrow path. There are many things, but you can help guide them and say, you know, you love to create order. So math, engineering, science, biology, chemistry, how do you like those? And you can direct them into a career path that suits their very being. Some people need to nap between 2 and 4. If you look at Spain, Mexico, any of the warm countries, they'll actually shut their businesses down. They'll have dinner, they take a nap, and then they open up later in the evening. Well, if you have a student who has this propensity, you're not, why take statistics between 2 and 4 when you're at your lowest? So it helps you make choices as to when you schedule classes, what will work for you, what type of environment in which you'll thrive. And then when you make choices in partners in life or places of employment, you're kind of going in with eyes wide open, and you have a tool to honor yourself and to be in a very productive place in life.
And that sounds wonderful. And I like it too for the self-esteem issues. I'm thinking, if you were a young child and you were curvy then, as well, and if somebody said to you, well, you're curvy because you have these attributes, and where do you see these attributes? Well, your friends come to you and they tell you their woes and they feel better, or, you know, that's why people like you, because, you know, you help them and this is how it manifests in your body or something like that, then all of a sudden this attribute is no longer negative, it's positive, and it's easier to live with or joyful to live with.
Exactly. And you and I had discussed, I have a passion, anger, righteous indignation over these kids who choose to commit suicide because they're being bullied. And what if, I know it's an ideal world, but what if these kids learn to see one another? And what if the one that is awkward in high school and might be more quiet and passive and, you know, has acne or whatever, what if they could see their perfection and know that as they matured, that this person is the visionary, this person is the one who can sit quietly and create beautiful things for the rest of us to take advantage of? And what if they knew that this person was kind and gentle and passive? And this is just a guess at the moment, but probably the ones that are bullying are much more active. And we all have a certain polarity. And again, this assessment shows us that. So the ones that are more active and aggressive and energetic are going to, might take advantage of someone who's more passive instead of honoring them. So it happens in all phases of life. It doesn't matter if you're a child or in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. It's important to be able to honor people and know what stokes your fuel, what gives you oxygen, and know what people don't. And so if there are people in your life who don't match with you, whether it's on a polarity level or a sense of refinement, you can love and honor them, but you don't have to spend a lot of time with them because they're going to drain your energy. So it helps you make wise choices and whose company you keep as well.
Okay, well, let's see what kind of wise choices you could help me make based on the assessment that I took. That we'll talk about that when we come back. But it'll be a great example of how you work and how this assessment can help. I want to remind everybody before we do that you're listening to Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo here on the BBS Radio Network, where you'll find us every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or Pacific Daylight Time. You can also find us on the web at lifechanges.ws or on Facebook under Filippo Voltaggio or Life Changes with Filippo. There you can also find our producers, Mark Lemlejeune, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and Mark Greger. Befriend us and chat with us and connect with us. We love hearing from you. By all means, email us and Twitter us and find us on YouTube as well. We're having a great time with this conversation that we have about the changes going on in our bodies, in our lives, and in our world. And much like our guest today, we interview people that have either made major changes in their lives, are helping other people make major changes, positive changes in their lives, or are out there changing the world in a very wonderful and positive way. And our guest today is certainly fits into all three of those areas. And many of our guests fit in all three of the areas, but at least they fit in one or two. And you can learn more about them and actually listen to the full archived shows at lifechanges.ws. So we're here returning to Dr. Beth Wade. We're talking about the ultimate life tool, an assessment that she had me take on the internet, which you all can take as well if you go to Dr. as in DR, and then Beth, B-E-T-H, and Wade, WADE.com. And there you'll be guided through this particular assessment, which I took. And then you might experience a call much like is about to happen right now. Dr. Wade?
Yes.
It's all yours. Say what you will. I'm bracing myself. And I'm sitting down.
You want? Well, you asked for it. Filippo is, as you can tell over the air, I could instantly. He's a wonderfully warm person, engaging. He helps people feel comfortable right away. He's jovial and warm, and the assessment showed me that he has certain characteristics and qualities. And again, I can see these when I look at someone, but what this assessment does is it helps fine tune those for me and for you. So each aspect, there are five areas that this technology acknowledges, and one of them obviously is your natural God-given traits. So, Filippo, his strongest aspect is that of being very regal and benevolent. He has a natural ability to lead, and people turn the reins over to him willingly, or he graciously accepts those responsibilities. That might be difficult for him to say no. He's very kind, and he'll weigh the pros and cons or measure on both sides before he makes a decision. So his decisions might not be instantaneous, but they're very balanced and good for the whole. He also is extremely energetic, loyal, has high integrity, and we call this aspect he can be a crusader. He will take a cause that's near and dear to his heart and will use all his strength and connections to make that cause come to fruition or a place of healing. He is also what we call, and we laughed about this, very absorptive. He can absorb large amounts of information and retain them, and they're right at his fingertips in an instant if people come to him. And I'm sure people come to him and ask questions, and it's not like, oh, he's a know-it-all. It's more they know that they don't have to do the research because they can ask him, and they trust his judgment in that area. He's the life of the party. very fun to be with. And this particular aspect is also a way to process information. So the way he processes information, he's like a huge generator. It's like the mainframe, this particular processor. So he may not process information at lightning speed in this particular aspect, but it's very steady. It's always online. It provides him with great energy. And then he has this very delightful, effervescent, sparkling part of his personality. That's why he's an entertainer, and that's why he's on the radio. Very optimistic, joyful, and he does process information at lightning speed with this particular processor. But towards the end of the day, that part of him might tire out a bit. And he won't put those beautiful hits from above like, aha, I've got the answer, you know. But this is the aspect where Filippo is very well balanced between active spokes and passive spokes, positive and negative. He's completely balanced in those areas. And when he learns about what all these do, if he's tired in one, he can shift to the other. And like if he's tired of being king, he can go ahead and be jovial and relax and read and be kind, and that will restore his being.
Is that the court jester? I could be king and court jester. Is that what you're saying?
No, you're the king. Okay. You're the king, remember?
You know, Beth,
he doesn't want to accept that.
If I knew you were going to be saying all these wonderful things about me, I wouldn't have even had a monologue. We would have dedicated the whole hour to you and everything that you're saying. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, well, thank you. I'm blushing as you share this. And I have to say that I see those qualities, and yet in my mind, maybe the processor, which needs to process information, in my mind, I also see how those qualities have gotten me into a lot of trouble. So are you going to tell me that maybe I just didn't own these qualities or didn't really know them about me, and so I was using them the wrong way or something like that?
Possibly. You had mentioned, if you don't mind me sharing, that when you were younger, you felt awkward because you were heavier and you had curly hair and your mom dressed you in tight clothes and you didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, and I mind you saying, but I guess it's too late now.
It's too late now. The blah, blah, blah. But because you carry your weight in your middle, that's where you have all this information. You have more gravity. And someone who is much smaller in frame typically doesn't have that particular processor. And we also move on a pendulum in life. And so when you're well-fed and rested and life's going well, that's easy. We don't worry about that. But if you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, or a combination of any of those, you're at the effect of a toxic world. And your responses are going to be what I call on the dark side. So what this assessment does is it helps mitigate those big swings. I like to look at it as a big roller coaster with steep ups and steep downs. And we can just make that a little rolling up and down. And when we get out of balance, you can immediately go, okay, do I need to eat? Do I need to rest? Do I need to do both of those things to right the ship so you get back to that center more gracefully? Mm-hmm. And Filippo has a couple of things that really are like lifeblood and oxygen to him. And as long as he remembers to feed those, he will stay healthy in spirit and physically as well. And those are creating order. So that's making lists or creating, making sure your desk is clean or your files are organized or you make outlines. That is vitally important to your existence. And to other people, it looks controlling. So when they say, oh, you're so controlling, you'll have to laugh and go, well, I'm just creating order, and this helps me move forward in life. And the other aspect is that he needs to have beautiful surroundings, aesthetically beautiful. He needs to give and receive attention on a regular basis and be praised and do fun things. And I would imagine if you're alone very long, it doesn't feel good and you're not happy. You need time to restore, but if you're given too much time without having human interaction, it really takes the wind out of you. And what happens is the negative side of that, instead of being happy and joyful, is you start whining and wanting, making a lot of I comments. I need this. I need that. You're not giving me this. So,
well, so much for all the wonderful comments.
So, hey, you're in your good space now, you know? So if you know what the bad is and you know what the good is, it's like, okay, let's stay in the middle here. Let's stay healthy.
Beth, this is great. You know, the interesting thing to me is that, I mean, of course, I know you have your master's in divinity and a PhD in metaphysical sciences, but you obviously use something else, you know, something in your psyche or something to get some of this information. But a lot of this came from this assessment, which was just asking me what color are my eyes and what color is my hair and whether it's curly or not. And it's just amazing that you and I had not met and you got all of this from that test.
Yes. It's amazing to me as well. When you take the assessment, a report is generated. And so you receive that at the end of our time together. I see a grid that has numbers that mean something to me. You know, there's volume. It can show me if you are lacking energy. I can see where your energy leaks are and how to shore them up. And instead of going to somebody and saying, I'm miserable, and they give you a laundry list of things to do, I can be very specific and give you one or two things to do that will help balance you. And if you happen to be in a more, you were in a very healthy place, but if you happen to endure one of those hits in life, and you might need a little bit of ongoing counseling, it's not a forever process. And we can get you to a place of feeling good and being able to accept and move and groove through life again.
Hmm. You know, a word that came to mind when we were talking about this is that I think you had said that God created us in a certain form for a reason. Actually, I think were your words. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking ergonomically, in a sense, that we were designed to function in certain areas and our body is perfect for that function. And when we go against that function, if we try and drive the car sideways, it's not going to be as ergonomical.
That's
how
right.
You like my analogy?
That's good. That's good. Well, it reminds me, because we talked about that in this particular model, there are 12 different, let's say there's 12 different people in a van, and they're all talking and talking and talking. And there are only two or three that have a license to drive the car. Well, if you know who the two or three are and how they act, that's great. But what happens if an unlicensed driver jumps in and starts moving your vehicle forward, which is your body? You're going to crash.
Mm.
So when I say that you like to create order and you need beauty, those are the things, those are the two drivers, and then this also beautiful, optimistic part of you that move you forward with ease, economically. And some people have the exact same ones, but they're at a different volume. And this really helps with your personal relationships, whether it's your kids, a mate, people at work. Because when you can understand just a couple of aspects about one another, you can help them in their strengths. And when you see their weaknesses, you know how to feed them so that they move out of that more quickly.
Well, Beth, now I understand more what you mean by helping clients or reintroducing clients to themselves and their own unique language and expression of self. I certainly got a lot out of our session together and so much more as well by listening to you, again, this is, I'm happy you found this for you and for us, and that we found each other. You come to us through our producer, Mark Greger, and I'm so grateful that he's introduced us to you and you to us. I want to remind everybody that we've been talking to Dr. Beth Wade, and we've been talking about the Ultimate Life Tool, which is an assessment that one can find at www.drbethwade.com. And Beth, is there anything you'd like to add that we didn't get to talk about today before we bring this wonderful interview to a close?
Well, just a couple of things. You had reminded me that with my divinity degree, that God knew you before he knit you in your mother's womb, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You do have a purpose and a plan, and life is very busy, and it's moving faster and faster and faster for all of us. And if you just need to stop and take a deep breath and get some support, I would be most happy to be of service to you. And Filippo, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been an honor, and it's been such a pleasure getting to know you.
Likewise, I look forward to getting to know you better, Beth. Great evening.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Beth Wade and the Ultimate Life Tool. That's pretty fascinating. Mark, what'd you think?
I think it's a very interesting perspective that she comes from. It's you hear of a lot of people in the relationship space, but she comes at it from a much more holistic perspective, and a very valuable perspective, I think.
Yeah, the relating to oneself, I thought, was very interesting.
That's what I mean by holistic, is oneness, which is obviously near and dear to our hearts, and it appeals to the whole idea of self-realization, of the inner journey, and of the relationship with oneself. That moment of recognizing yourself from almost a third-party perspective, or the recognition of maybe your higher self evaluating your terrestrial self as you explore these life's moments.
Yeah, and I also like that she shared a little bit about me. Now you know how to treat me.
Well, she had a lot of credibility through most of the discussion until that assessment.
That's not nice.
And of course, I'm just kidding. Those who know you would certainly validate that she's spot on, and see those qualities in you as a person, as a entertainment force, and as a force of change, and the true passionate desire you have for walking your walk and talking your talk.
Thank you. I wasn't fishing for a compliment there, but thank you. And in actuality, what that helped me do is was to kind of confirm some of my beliefs of who I am or what I'm here to do, and it helped me focus, thinking, okay, well, if that's what I am, then I just have to be, and I don't have to be anything except myself, and that's perfect for where I am and what I want to do.
And how timely is that, given discussions that we were having just before the show?
Exactly. You want to elaborate on that, because that was great discussion.
Well, it's something that I think both of you are coming, both you and I are coming to a realization on, and I think our listeners have had probably moments of this, or should or shall have moments of this. But it's a recognition that there is a need to move into and accept the inherent perfection of everything that is, and that means understanding who we are in that moment, accepting who we are. And being able to then improve on that and grow from that, as opposed to judge it, judge oneself in a day-to-day situation, judge those around you. The minute you accept everything that it is about you, the minute you're that whole, then there is nothing wrong, and there's nothing to judge, there's nothing to be upset about, there's nothing to be depressed about, as well as accepting
perfection around you and those around you, and therefore you can't judge them for this or that or be upset about this or upset of that. So you remove all of that negative thought process or emotionality, and the only thing that is left is pure foundation to you know, build upon in a positive manner.
Yeah, the analogy that came to mind while you were saying that was, if somebody likes to sing a certain note all the time, they don't have to get the world to sing that same note. If somebody else sings another note with which happens to harmonize and they get together, how beautiful is that? And then if somebody else sings yet another note which could be part of a chord, well, now you've got music. It's no longer just one note. And that first person didn't have to change anything about themselves or change anybody else. They just had to sing their note.
I think that's very, very well put. I think that's, you know, when you look at the universal vibration and you talk about life being a symphony and an orchestra, well, everything has its note, everything is vibration. So that, in essence, all we're doing once again is stepping back to accept what is, rather than creating something more to it or putting new rules in around it based on what we think it may or may not be. I also want to mention that this is interesting because it touches a concept that that I've been exploring and that for my book, which is your vibrational correlation, and it's a look at all of the thoughts that we have. If you were to actually take every thought and put a calibrated number to that, whether it's negative or positive is irrelevant. It's somewhere on a spectrum. And so you apply a value to each thought. And if you are able to apply a value to each thing you eat, whether it's living or not, whether it's toxic or not, you sum total of all of these aspects of you and your physical nature and your mental nature, that would be your vibrational correlation and your vibrational equivalent. Well, now, again, there is nothing right or wrong in that. It just is. And so when you start looking at that, then once you accept that for what it is and you don't judge it and you realize that is just where I am at today, then you can start to look within that and say, well, which ones do I maybe would I like to replace or improve upon? And that becomes a positive exercise as opposed to an exercise where you're tearing yourself down.
Mark, I like that a lot. I can't wait to read that in your book or to have you share it more. Or maybe you and I should interview each other someday. That might be interesting. And actually, you know, next week will be something along those lines. Our guest for next week, who is going to be Rachel Taylor, who is writing a book on purpose. Actually, she's writing a book on purpose. She's purposely writing a book, but the subject matter is purpose. And she asked if she could interview me on the show, actually. So next week we'll be in front of a live audience, which will be fun to do again. And we're doing more and more of those, and it's getting pretty exciting. And it will be something very different, where I'm actually going to be interviewed on our show. Because she says that I have certain archetypes and elements in my story that help her illustrate what purpose is. And she's going to be interviewing me for the book that she's writing. So that should be really interesting. And that's next week here at 7 p.m. on the BBS Radio Network. Or if you're in Los Angeles and you're getting a private invitation to this particular event, which is going to be by private invitation, but hopefully we'll be able to open it up to the public very, very soon. Then if you're getting one of those invitations, we hope to see you here. I am sad that it's the end of another great episode, as far as I'm concerned, of Life Changes with Filippo. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I'd like to acknowledge our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles, and Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their respective links. I, along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeure, and our and producers, and producer Mark Gregor, and our engineer Seth Hendricks, thank you for being part of this show and for being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechanges.ws. Also, you can follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.